It's way, way, way over there. Way, way over there. Way over there. This is the news according to me. Well, good morning. It is, it's 7:43. Tuesday morning. I believe it's September 20th, I believe, if I remember right. 2022. Here we are we're still in Atlanta today. And, of course, there's all kinds of things happening, newsworthy items happening around the world. Apparently, the funeral procession and everything is finally over. Which brings me to what's in my cup. It's the second most important thing in the world, apparently. I have an assortment of teas here. They're all sweet tea, of course. I have some sweet tea from Arby's. I have some sweet tea from a little pizza place. And I also have some sweet tea it's from a little restaurant down here. So I have I have three different cups. I have two different cups and then I have a thermos that has some sweet tea in it as well. But you can probably tell by my voice this morning that I probably sound a little bit tired. It's 7:44 in the morning. And yes, I'm a little bit tired this morning. I got through a very stressful evening last night. I had kind of a review type test type thing had to go through. It's quite stressful. It went very well, fairly well. That's over with. It was a kind of a relief when it was over. One of those deals where, you know, you get through it and you're like, boy, I'm glad that's over with. That's just, you know, it wasn't anything traumatic or anything. It was just stressful. So today I'm kind of relaxing with, you know, basking in the relaxation of having gotten that accomplished. Work goes on. I have to have two more days here. Tomorrow's going to be a very long day, not necessarily stressful, but a very long day. Some things going on in the world. There's this interesting, I keep hearing things about, apparently, I saw a newscast this morning talking about the far right. And this idea that the far right, the further right you go, the more of a Nazi you are. You're going to hear a couple of terms that have been happening, getting passed around in media. It's not really getting any traction because it requires people to be actually intelligent to understand it. And unfortunately, our friends on the left are not as politically savvy in terms of, I'm not saying they're unintelligent, I'm just saying they're not as well-versed on political stuff. They don't dive. Most leftists are not very politically deep with regard to history and what works and what doesn't. They might be politically active. They might be very involved in some cases. Involved, not evolved. Involved in politics. Unfortunately, that is the case because in most cases they are very, with regard to what actually works principally and ideologically, they're very ignorant with regard to history. Now they might have an education of changed history or a revisionist history, but in actuality, what actually works, you know, they have this idea that capitalism, for one thing, doesn't work. Capitalism's terrible, and that individualism or whatever you want to call it, as opposed to collectivism, is selfishness. And that being on the far right means that you are a Nazi, you are a fascist, that somehow that is equated with a white supremacist. And all of these things are very misinformed and unfortunately can drive people to insanity. It's just, you see the mass hysteria over, you know, the Trump issues of, you know, if you're a Trump supporter, you're a racist, you're a fascist, the whole Antifa movement was brought about by anti-fascism, is what they're the anti-fascists, supposedly. They're the ones that run around destroying people, telling them what they can and can't say. These are the people which is the very definition of part of the definition of fascism. Which, if you've watched my show in the past, you would know that I did have a show that was dedicated to the definition of fascism. The very beginning, if you look in Wikipedia, the very beginning of the very first sentence, it's known as a far-right ideology. And then it proceeds to tell you what the fascists do, what their ideology is, and you realize this is the agenda of the left. And it's very, very easy to see that if you point it out in all the details. Conservatives want government out of our lives. And here's the challenge that we have with regard to the conservative movement, the idea of conservative government, or liberty, or an individualist government, not collectivist government. The challenge that we run into is that we don't want to get involved in government. We don't want government involved in our lives, and we want government to be small. And I can't remember, I think it was Benjamin Franklin that actually quoted this quote that has come from, and this is a paraphrase, basically made the comment that if we can, the republic will be destroyed if people ever realize they can vote for themselves money from the treasury. That's kind of the gist of what they said. In other words, if we figure out that we can vote people in that are going to give us money, it's all going to be over with. That's exactly what's happening. Exactly what's happening. We have a situation where we have this entitled mentality that the government owes us something. Well, the government, it's our money. That's happening here. And we don't realize we're robbing from ourselves. And of course, in the process, the more control that government can get over any kind of funding, any kind of money flow, they want to dip their toe into this money stream that's happening here in the United States. And what they do is they dip their money, their hands into this thing, and they can control it. And with that, they enrich themselves, because now they can make, those individuals at the top can make or break businesses, companies. It is a very what's the word? It's a very almost communist type of system. Reagan had a quote. I've heard it before. I hear it several times, because Mr. Reagan, the channel Mr. Reagan on YouTube, he quotes it quite often at the end. He has Reagan, actually President Reagan, talking about it, and talks about how fascism will come to America in the form of private ownership of government with government control and through regulation and that kind of thing. Which is exactly what we have. We have so much regulation on companies that they literally kowtow to government control, and what it's almost as if they're owned by the government or run by the government without government responsibility. So they have this the ability to control a company simply now. And now this is extending into the fascist ideology of what is woke. So the wokeness is coming to big companies because they won't receive government funding if they don't allow this or don't allow that, or they restrict this or that, or if they don't restrict this or that. This example was very clear during the time of COVID. The government was starting to push people. Anybody who contracted with the government, had their employees had to be vaccinated with this extremely effective vaccination that solved the crisis, you know, shut it down, you know, overnight. And the process of doing this took the responsibility away from the businesses and placed it in the hands of the government, telling them what to do. And it even stretched into those businesses who had contractors. They basically said, well, if you say company XYZ who does direct business has a contract with the government, well, if you contract with us to do business, you're also required. It went too deep, two companies deep. So if you were doing business with us, now they could have gone three or four deep, but they could have required it to go even further if they would have wanted to. They could have said any of your vendors or suppliers have to provide information that says that they're also vaccinated. This is a creepy, scary mandate type system, and this is why I was so terribly opposed to it. And it wasn't so much that I wasn't opposed to vaccines. If you want to get a vaccine, that's your business. What I was concerned about was when the companies started forcing people to do that. Now, what I told several of my friends was, okay, well, you get the vaccine if you want to, but if you're, because several people I talked to said, well, I agree with the vaccines, but I'm opposed to the mandate. Okay, well, how are you going to protest that? How are you going to oppose it? Well, you know, I got the vaccine, so I'm gonna let my voice known. I'm gonna vote. I'm gonna let my voice be known, or whatever. I'm gonna oppose it. I'm just gonna say I don't agree with it. Okay, that does a lot of good. Just saying you don't agree with it. Here's what you need to do. You need to take action, and here's the only action you can take. Do not disclose to your employer that you have the vaccine, your medical status, whether or not you have the vaccine. Just tell them you're not gonna disclose your information. Well, then they're gonna fire me. Yep. There you go. There's your stand right there. If people who got the vaccine who opposed the mandate would have simply said, I'm not going to disclose to you whether or not I have the vaccine or not, they would have had to lay off. They would have had to fire or lay off or do whatever they were doing. Put you in a voluntary furlough or involuntary furlough. However they're doing it with some companies. More than half of their staff would have been, that would have changed everything. But we didn't get any direction from anybody. And here's the issue with the Republican Party. The Republican Party is not educating people and really confronting this idea of the far right. They're scared. They're afraid to be recognized as being far right. Because the far right, the term far right has been so vilified. And they really need to confront this issue, because far right doesn't mean anything at all. It doesn't mean fascists or the people who are white supremacists, all these white supremacists that apparently are everywhere in the world, which is a bogus lie. Apparently this idea that you have, you know, in America, that you have these large groups, half the country is fascists, half the country is racist. This idea, and that ideology is all on the right. It's all Republicans, far right Republicans, and so the centrists, the moderates, they don't want to get involved in this. They don't want to be portrayed as being on the right, too far on the right, because then now I become a fascist, now I become a racist, now I become this white nationalist, or whatever they're going to call it. Now, the left also, CNN and MSNBC try to push this agenda, this other narrative. Now they're going after Christian. It's called Christian nationalism, and this also too is very dangerous, because here where we go with it, they're bringing up this guy back in, I don't know, 40s or 50s or whenever it was, who was considered himself a Christian nationalist, and he had a movement and he called himself a Christian nationalist, and it was a weird movement. Now, but just because someone calls themselves that, they use that term, does not necessarily mean that that's the definition of it. They kind of define it as such. Just because they have an organization, that's just because one, you know, like the Baptist church, that, what is it, Brook Hill Baptist or whatever it is, just because that one Baptist church is screwy and weird and does strange things and is very, I don't know much about them, but they're off the wall, doesn't mean that all Baptists are that way. But this is, you know, so you could make a case against all Baptists. Well, this is the Baptist movement right here. This is it. Defining the whole Baptist church by that is not It's not even considered a, that would be a very bad analysis, to draw that conclusion. And that's this, but this is what they do. They come up with some radical thing that's out there somewhere, and they equate that. Now they're going to use that as a what do they call it? A wedge or whatnot? A wedge? A curmudgeon? What I don't know what to call it. And this is what they do. Now, in the process of doing that, of course, now you have you've got the wedge of all the media playing into that. This is the way they will vilify Christians. In this country, you would have never thought that, in America, we would never get to the point where Christian persecution would happen. This is coming to America, by the way. True believers will eventually be persecuted for what they believe. And if you don't think that the woke movement is part of that, then you're just ignoring what's going on. You will not, as a pastor, be able to say anything about any kind of moral issue that you disagree with in society without being punished, without having your tax-free exemption status taken away, which there's some churches already that are just not even, they're like, we don't care about that anymore. We're going to have to just do away with that. Giving to our church is not going to be tax-deductible anymore. They just have to bite that bullet, because otherwise they will not survive, because they need to be able to say what they want to say without being censored by the government. So it's a fight that's going to happen, and it's only going to get worse. I mean, it's already started. We can try to turn back the tide or hold it off for a while, but it's look at the general way that society is heading. Our trajectory for the last 50 years has been down a path that is leading towards more socialist, more of a collectivist mentality. And this whole woke agenda is definitely ushering it right in as all this is happening. Now, getting back to the whole issue of, where this is going with regard to the current situation, we have the agenda from the leftist media, legacy media, this idea that the far right is fascist. Republicans are not confronting that idea. All you have is mealy-mouthed GOP establishment folks at the leadership, at the top of the leadership, ignoring it. They're uncomfortable with it. They're uncomfortable with this idea that, well, people are going to think that we're, I have to be kind of a centrist, I have to be a moderate, I have to be in the center here so I can get voters, so I get the independents. Well, once you educate, it's a matter of education, and that's the biggest problem that the Republicans have failed on. We are in an informational war. The left is motivated by emotion. It's very easy to get people into mass, had a mass hysteria. It's not mass hysteria, but it's a mass something, a psychosis of some kind. And you see this, and it's Trump derangement syndrome is a very real thing, and it's a very when you have media proposing these ideas that Trump said this and Trump said that, and he's yet they misquote, and they keep saying it over and over and over, and they create this monster in their heads that is just, intolerable, insufferable. This is impossible. You can't allow this man to come back into power because we're going to lose our democracy. And yet he's the very man who's talking about having a democracy, having a nation that kneels to God. When he talks about we and us and the people and the citizens of this country, he's not talking about the government running things. He's talking about we the people. He understands. He gets it. He's not part of the establishment, and he's being attacked now in horrible ways with regard to these lawsuits and the way they're coming after him to indict him, thinking that's going to keep him from running for president again. Why are they so concerned about him running? If so many people are going to show up to vote this guy out, why are they so concerned about it? So let's get into that a little bit. I was listening to Robert Gavaio last night, and he was talking about the case that's going on right now with the Trump investigation into these documents. Right now, the only investigation that's happening is about these documents. There's no criminal investigation going on, which is very bizarre that this is even going on to the extent that it is. The FBI is obviously trying to find. Apparently, my headphones. I thought my headphones would be working with this recorder. Apparently, they're not. It's not working. But sorry to interrupt you there. The whole investigation revolves around these documents. Well, there's only about 100 documents out of the thousands that they took that the FBI is concerned about. Now, why is the FBI so passionately emblazoned in this whole thing? There's more to this than just national security and, oh my gosh, the country's going to implode if we don't have these documents back in their rightful place. Well, they're being kept in a beach house in Florida. Mar-a-Lago is not exactly a beach house. The place is the size of the White House. The place was fine for Trump to be in. It was apparently secure enough for the president to spend time in when he was home. Just it's larger than Kenny, the Biden home. It's like a fortress. Places you can't just walk in there and take the documents out. Okay, it's not like they're sitting on a beach under a blanket somewhere, and that's what they'd have you to believe. That's the way they try to portray it. And they continue to do this kind of thing, which is just disgusting the way they pull this stuff off all the time. The way they create a narrative and they blast it out there. They're not just reporting the news; they're creating the news. They're creating this narrative. They're creating a straw man in so many ways. Now this kind of thing, it happens on a daily basis. They just make stuff up as they go, which is why they have no credibility. And they wonder why we don't have any credibility. After all, the name of my show is Facts, all about the facts. So that's what my show is. Nothing but facts. I called my show Nothing But Facts. Therefore, it's all about facts. It's just weird that they do that kind of stuff. Thinking that's going to make a difference. Reliable sources, stuff like that. That's just, okay, that's reliable. Reliable sources. It must be reliable because it says it right there in the title. But the Republican Party has failed in regards to explaining their platform. I believe it's raining quite hard outside, actually, right now. It's kind of interesting. Making a lot of noise. I don't know if you can hear that in the background. It's rather noisy. So the Republican Party has failed to do this. And I blame people at the top of the leadership. It's McCarthy, McConnell, those individuals. I wonder if we got two Irishmen at the top of that. Or Scottish. I don't know what they are. This is where we're at. Now, in my opinion, Kevin McCarthy, I do not think he should be Speaker of the House. I think he should be voted out. He wields so much power, and the way these people stay in power is because they control the PAC money. They control the campaign funds for so many others who've been elected. So all these people feel beholden to them that they must vote for them, or they're not going to get PAC money for their reelection campaign. That's what happens here. That's how they control. That's how they keep people in line. Nancy Pelosi has done it for years. She's very good at it. And that's why she's a multimillionaire. More than just the stock options and the stock trading, she actually makes more money and has more perks through the PAC money that she controls. It's very clear. So, and this is the establishment we're talking about. The establishment, the donors, all the people that are behind the I call them the oligarchs of the party. They're it's a mini little society of its own. It's very dangerous, and it stops becoming a representative republic of, or a representative government of the people, and it becomes more of a representation of themselves. They see themselves as being the government, not the people, and therefore they are the ones in charge. They're the, you know, because they just keep stay elected because, you know, that means all that means I'm their representative now. I'm stay in power. I mean, I'm in power. They're not in power. See, they represent the power. This is the whole mentality. The problem that they have is they think that they're in power instead of being concerned about representing the power. The power is actually in the people. It's for, of, and by the people. For, of, and by the people. The people are the power. That is not the way politicians today think of themselves, by and large. Most of them do not think that way. The ones who do stand out like a sore thumb. You got the Rand Pauls and the Jim Jordans, the people that who are basically trying to represent their districts, not dictate to their districts or dictate to the American people. They're trying to represent and defend constitutional values, which is individual values, individual liberties, not collective special rights. The left is all about collective special rights. That's all they're about. It is this constant droning of, you know, what dividing people up into groups and then promising things to certain groups so that they can get their votes. They find the ones who are, you know, that they want to support and so they can get their votes from them. We're going to pile you in this, you're in this community and you're going to be a protected class. You're going to have special rights, not just equal rights. You're going to have special rights and we're going to put you over here in this pile. Therefore, you can vote for us. And we're the ones that are looking out for you because this is your identity. Your identity is in this group. And so therefore, we're here to help this group and that's how we're going to help you out. It's disgusting and despicable. That's what it is. And that's the state of affairs we have today. So in conclusion, folks, for today, I just wanted to say that the when you hear this term, the far right, because I saw this headline. It's about Italy, I guess. In Italy, it says voters are turning to the far right for leadership. Well, that's in Italy. If you remember Mussolini and all the things that happened there, this is their. They're equating them again to the now. Hitler did not consider himself far right. In fact, if you go back into history, world history, back in the 30s and the way people talked about Hitler, they did not see him as a far right individual. Nobody called him far right back then. This was a term that was brought about in the 70s and 80s when the academia started bringing this term in. They started redefining what fascism is. And I don't know that they deliberately do this or if it's just a matter of the way the spirit of the world and the spirit of the age works. I don't know. It's an interesting self-deception that these people have under themselves. They can't see their own deception, and it's just amazing to me. I mentioned it on just about every show. I talk about how people, they have no self-awareness. On the left at all, none. People in general have a hard time with self-awareness. However, the left is predominantly, just immersed in being unaware of themselves. It's just amazing to me. So once again, folks, I leave you with a show that it should hopefully draw you to prayer. We need to pray for our nation, for our leaders. And I believe that there's only one way. First of all, we need to be diligent and to be educated and to be able to define and articulate our message. But we need to really press our leaders, those who are in representation and representative government right now, those are representatives, to get out there and become more articulate, not just say, "Hey, look at what they've done. You need to vote for me because they destroyed the economy. Vote for me." What are you going to do? Let's have a platform that actually means something. Run on something, and we can vote something we can vote for rather than just voting against the other, the lesser of two evils, which is what we typically have. Because that takes effort. It takes some fortitude. It takes some determination and some education in order to do that. And we have very few people in politics these days who are willing to take that effort and make that effort. I guarantee you, if you do, people like Carrie Lake and Ron DeSantis and there's some others out there, those kinds of people are the ones who will rise to the top. We want people who will shoot straight with us, who will be honest, have common sense ideas, and not be, you know, just wacko off to the left or to the right, or what, you know, just be wacko in general, not just. So therefore, I hear the bumper music coming in now, and so I will conclude this show. Once again, thanks for listening, folks. I really do appreciate those who listen and those who subscribe to the channel, those who download it, and that does help a lot as far as getting the word out. The more popular the podcast is, the more it kind of self-promotes itself. If it's popular and people are sharing it and downloading it, then they push it to the top, push it up a little higher, gets higher ratings. So once again, folks, thanks for listening, and pray for the nation, pray for our leaders, pray for each other, and have a great rest of your day, a great rest of your week. We're just getting into it. God bless.